Everybody, this is Ryan here, and I have a very special guest on today. I have Sankar Sandarisan, who is the CEO and founder of Sky Genie. Bootstrap the company. It's an AI native company, and one of the really cool things that they are doing is solving one of the single biggest mistakes that chief revenue officers, executives, and sales are making, specifically as it relates to pipeline management. And they're using explainable AI to do it. So, really great episode. This one hit home because I personally lived through this as a revenue executive, as a leader, found a way to solve it, but not in the way that he did and have an automated system and algorithm to do it. So really interesting insights. You're not going to want to miss it. Check it out. How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer. Welcome, everybody, to the Scale Up Show. This is your host, Ryan Staley, and I have a very special guest with me today. I have Sankar Sandarisan on, who is the founder and CEO of Sky Genie. Sky Genie does something really unique, and one of the biggest problems that I hear, basically, it's a solution that is a GPS for growth, specifically with pipeline for tech companies. Sankar, how's it going? Welcome, and happy to have you on the show, man.
Thanks, Ryan. Happy to be on and you know, chat with you and by extension with your audience.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this, man, because like, as you know, and I brought this up, I think on the pre-show, that pipeline is one of the most common challenges that gets brought up to me whenever I work with someone, whenever I don't work with someone, it's always brought up. But before we get too deep into that, I want to do a real quick revenue rundown. So what stage are you guys at in terms of the journey, company stage and whatnot, where you're at?
So we've been lucky enough to be bootstrapped and still growing pretty strongly without taking on venture money. That's, I think, in a good place to be, especially given how the, you know, the environment is in terms of raising these days, right? So, you know, our customers are super happy with what we've done. And, you know, again, you know, word of mouth and referral has been like a primary driver of growth. And we're also investing, you know, slowly, but as you know, at a pace that's commensurate with cash flow in sales and marketing efforts ourselves.
Love that, man. Word of mouth, bootstrapped, referrals. I mean, that's, you're just hit on all of them. So obviously you're doing something right on the product side if that's what's happening. So how big is your team right now?
So we're about you know, getting close to 20 people, you know, between, you know, different locations.
Okay, very capital efficient for where you guys are at in the stage of the journey. And then can you give us like a couple sentence description of Sky Genie just so that we understand it a little bit deeper? Obviously, I gave a really high level of it, but would love to hear your version.
Sure. No, we're a growth acceleration platform. Our goal is to help revenue teams drive more efficient and more predictable growth, right? But helping them take a revenue goal that their board of investors give them and kind of reverse engineering the amount of pipeline that they need to be building and what are the best combinations of say, vertical segments, products, geographies to build that pipeline and based on win-loss data from the recent past. And also giving them a really good perspective on how far in advance do they be needing to build that pipeline, given what's happening with cycle times and the mix of the pipeline between different, you know, long cycle times versus short cycle times, etc. And then this is all in the kind of, you know, broadly, you know, under the umbrella of coming up with really well thought through plans that are based on real world and realistic assumptions, right? So again, we talked about, you know, you mentioned that growth GPS. So what does a GPS do for you? Right? It allows you to, you know, plan well before you begin the journey. And it also helps you course correct as you're driving to your destination based on the most recent available data all the time, right? So we want, you know, our vision is to be able to be that GPS for revenue teams, if you will, right? Which is help them plan with real world assumptions, no more 3x, 4 pipeline, 4x pipeline type of guesswork. You know, when you look at your own past execution over the last 4 to 6 quarters, what's been your ability to convert pipeline that you've started the quarter with into closed $1 by the end of the quarter? What were you able to convert and, you know, create and convert during the quarter itself? What were you able to pull in from a future quarter? Take a look at all of that and have some advanced algorithms analyze all of that. And then take a look at, you know, and then you can obviously override those assumptions. You don't have to be stuck with how you executed in the past. You can obviously model what would be the impact of making specific improvements in conversion rates between stage X to stage Y or stage Y to stage Z. And at the end of the day, you can have a really high confidence plan that you can take to your CFO and CEO and say, these are my resource needs, and this is how I came up with what my resource needs are. Because, you know, the conversation between CROs and CFOs is always a good one. I mean, again, I've had the privilege of kind of being, you know, being a fly on the wall and observing a lot of those in leadership roles that I've had at prior companies. So we, again, a lot of our customers, CROs, tell us that, look, SkyGenie helped us really think through how do I take a board mandate for a revenue target and break it down into, this means we need to be building this much pipe by this time in these areas, and therefore we need this kind of a resource plan to support that.
Love that, man. Love that. And it's something that a lot of people, I mean, it took, I remember when I was leading the enterprise team, it took us a while to fine tune that. And then we had it down pretty tight, but you could always make it tighter. So are you using for the predictive part AI with that, I assume? And if so, what kind?
No, we actually use something called explainable AI, right? I mean, it's really a fancy way of saying, you know, we've taken the, we started by doing what everybody does, Ryan, which is, you know, bringing the best, most sophisticated algorithms to bear on the data that we had access to. And what we discovered, quite to our disappointment, was that several of our customers didn't have a big data problem. They actually had a small data problem, right? Because, you know, they had a, you know, maybe, you know, less than 10,000 opportunities in Salesforce, and of which, if you looked at opportunities from the recent past, they weren't that many, right? And the most sophisticated algorithms in the world require tons and tons of data to do a good job at precision and recall, right? These are two measures of how well, you know, an ML model performs, right? So we actually had a PhD in machine learning help us as a consultant trying to figure this out. And his conclusion was, there is no way that, you know, the typical black box algorithms are going to work for you, right? So we said failure is not an option, like they say in Apollo 13, right? And then said, let's go back to the drawing board. And we said, what if we could mimic the judgment process of an experienced SaaS CRO? What does he or she consider when he or she grades the quality of the pipeline that they have? And what if we could capture their expertise in an ML model and train it against the past performance data of every single customer of ours? And then have our data science team further step in and fine tune those models so that they are really, really optimized for every customer's data sets. And further, every quarter, fine tune the model again with the most recent quarter of execution data that's available. So what you have is an explainable AI based prediction machine that's very accurate. By the time we get to day 45 in the quarter for most customers, we're within plus or minus 10% of where they actually end up ending the quarter, right? So more recently, we also have a top-down based forecasting model that we've worked with. And, you know, again, most of what we do, we work super closely with our customer revenue teams. So, because at the end of the day, you know, we're not here to build a product in a vacuum. We, you know, we co-innovate with our customers, and a lot of what we do is driven by what they need. So, you know, we have two ways of looking at the problem, right? If you quality adjust every single opportunity in the pipeline, what is it expected to yield by the end of this quarter, next quarter, the quarter after that? But we also know that a lot of times, a good chunk of what gets closed gets created in quarter and closed in quarter. So what can past trend data tell us about what's likely to happen in the future? And also, what about all the stuff that we managed to pull in, right, from a future quarter and close ahead of time? So we look at all aspects of all the big moving parts in a company's past history, and our algorithm takes all of that into account before it comes up with an answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that, man. So what's the single biggest mistake that you see CROs make when it comes to pipeline?
The single biggest mistake is just relying on rules of thumb, like I need 3x pipeline, I need 4x pipeline, because you'll be amazed at, you know, how many jaws we've seen dropping to the ground when we actually show them. When you look at your past execution, you actually need way more than what you think you need. And most often what gets neglected is the importance of having enough capacity to create enough pipeline that can close within the quarter itself, right? Because a lot of times, even though we operate, you know, a lot of our customers operate in businesses with 180-day to 270-day cycle times, a good chunk of what they end up winning, and when I say good chunk, somewhere between 20 to 25 to 30%, somewhere in that neighborhood, are opportunities that become sales qualified and sprint to the finish line all within 90 days, right? In order to make that happen, you need to have enough capacity to build enough qualified pipeline during the quarter. And again, when I say enough capacity, it means campaign dollars, it means SDRs, it means AEs to qualify all the leads coming from marketing and convert them into closed up, into qualified opportunities. So that's one big mistake that we see CROs make, is, you know, plan based on faulty assumptions. And therefore, even though there's a lot of detail behind the plan essentially is setting them up to fail. So I would say, you know, of all of the challenges that we've seen customers grapple with, that is by far the most, I think you know, the one that hurts them the most, if you will.
Yeah, I can see that. The assumption and the lack of understanding of how long it takes or the time as well. So you got the time side, you got the close rate side, and I can see that being hard, especially with longer sales cycles for some that don't have that experience. Is that where you see a higher problem rate for more of the enterprise or the mid-market plus segments?
Yes. I mean, by definition, pretty much all the customers we work with are, you know, customers that sell to enterprises and, you know, where them are, you know, cybersecurity companies, SaaS companies, you know, where the typical cycle times are anywhere between 120 days to about 270 days. Right. So it takes a while for anything to flow through the system because they're all selling to enterprises with multiple decision makers all having to, you know, get to a point of yes before the quarter ends.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Okay, cool. Well, I think that, I mean, that hits home. I guess, what do you see now? Let's flip it on the other side of it, right? I hit on the biggest mistake. What do you see as the biggest opportunity moving forward for this space, especially with how outbound's getting crushed and a lot of other areas in the pipeline side? Ads are going up. I mean, there's a lot of challenges with pipeline. So what do you see as the biggest opportunity for pipeline growth moving forward based on, you know, your entire client sample size and conversations that you've had?
Right. I mean, you know, what I'm about to talk about might be, you know, you might kind of look at this and say, isn't that obvious? But you'd be surprised at how many customers that we work with where some of this stuff is not that obvious, right? So one big opportunity that I see is aligning where the demand gen dollars are spent with where mm-hmm. there is recent positive traction in the market, right? Most companies start out with a notion of what their ICP looks like, and marketing goes off, right, and starts building a lot of pipeline in what they think the ICP is. But as you and I both know, Ryan, right, even, you know, with so much happening in the market, right, competitors, substitutes, and, you know, changes in, you know, approaches, and, you know, with, you know, Gen AI kind of, you know, displacing pretty much, I mean, at least threatening to displace a lot of what we do historically. People's, you know, the ICPs for customers actually shift over time, right? And then there are tailwinds either because of regulations taking effect or because of some other, you know, broader macroeconomic factors where certain combinations of vertical segments, products, geographies have, you know, win rates that start to climb and show a really positive trajectory, right? And so I think there's a huge opportunity to align where we're building pipeline with where sales teams are actually able to win, as evidenced not by people doing research on Sixth Sense and things like that. All that is important, but I think some of that, in our opinion, is just highly overdone and highly over, you know, invested in. And some basic things like looking at recent win-loss data and constantly tweaking the pipe gen machine to invest more in areas where we've been winning more recently, which means there are some tailwinds we can really take advantage of. And conversely, slowing down investments in where win rates are lower at this point in the quarter relative to where we were at prior points in the quarter, you know, at the same time, and double clicking and seeing why are we now becoming less competitive in these combinations than we historically were. Is it the emergence of a new competitor, right? Or, you know, is our messaging no longer resonating? Or do we have a new crop of salespeople that's not able to explain value to, you know, to this, you know, in these combinations of segments, if you will? So I think there's a huge opportunity. But the challenge that I think is keeping companies from taking advantage of the opportunity is it's really difficult to find with standard dashboards, right? Essentially, you're looking for a needle in a haystack, because if you take every vertical combine it with every segment, with every product, with every geography, even for a mid-sized company, you have over 10,000 combinations, right? So you have to be sifting through a couple of dozen metrics for about 10,000 combinations, each of which changes given where you are in the quarter, because, you know, at end of month one in the quarter, win rates may be trending certain ways, because there is even within the quarter, there's a seasonality that's there, right? You know, month one's typically the slowest month. Month two, things start to pick up. But month three is where things significantly pick up and get to the finish line. So I think there is a huge opportunity to align marketing and sales, especially, you know, like you said, right? There's so, you know, the cost of generating leads is certainly going up, right? I mean, people, like you said, tuning out, they're being over-targeted. And especially when that is the case, we have to be much more judicious about where we spend our demand gen dollars with the view toward mm-hmm. ensuring that as high a percentage of those dollars convert to closed one.
Yeah, I think it's funny because like we used to revamp our ICP, and I call it the PCP, the perfect customer profile, which is like the top 20% of your ICP.
Right.
And so we kept iterating on that annually, and we actually doubled our deal size every year because of that. Right. We did it all manually, which was pain in the butt. But we constantly looked at, you know, our biggest wins, our biggest losses, our fastest wins, our slowest wins, all those areas, and then segmented it down by vertical, even region, all those different areas. Right. And that was so telling. It's funny because like later I found out that's the same go-to-market strategy that Snowflake leveraged. Vista Equity does that for their portfolio companies as well. And they do exactly what you say, is they reallocate the money of what's going well in that area and then, you know, kind of carve away everything else. You know what I mean? Right. So,
And talking about Vista Equity, a lot of our current customers, Brian, are actually private equity backed. I mean, and of course, you know, Vista and Thoma Bravo have the wherewithal to have a number of, you know, really smart people help their portfolio companies in some very strong ways, right? But then we work with a lot of companies that have investments from, you know, sort of the long tail of private equity investors, if you will, right? Where each of them doesn't have the deep pockets or the scale that a Vista or a Thoma Bravo does, right? And therefore, you know, they still provide portfolio support, but a lot of those companies leverage the capabilities of SkyGenie and our algorithms to, you know, give much deeper and much better thought through answers to questions from their new investors, who are all super focused on sales efficiency, not just growth, but efficient growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. Hello, this is Ryan here. Real quick, if you are enjoying this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a comment or review. If you want more help or just want to learn more about what the top SaaS CEOs and founders are doing, check out my website at www.ryanstaley.io. Join my newsletter, check out other free content resources I have there, and let me know if you want to scale your business. Now back to the episode. So what do you see, like, I mean, right now, where are you seeing the most success on the pipeline side, right? Like, what are the top three most successful areas or attributable pipeline channels or methods that you see most prevalent that your sample size are looking at, or your clients or folks that you're talking to? I'd be curious from a macro perspective, like, where you're seeing the most positive traction.
You know, the honest answer, again, I'm not trying to, you know, give you an evasive answer, but the honest answer is, I think it varies by customer, right? We have a customer who, you know, who sells to telcos. And for them, you know, the GSM World Congress, you know, is the place where they get the most number of leads consistently year after year after year, right? You know, but then we also have other customers, right, that sell to the mass, you know, to sell to a wide variety of industries. They have an integration platform. And so for them, you know, more than the lead source, I think what's more important is first understanding, you know, what types of segments and verticals, right, do we need to focus on? And then going back and seeing historically for those combinations of verticals and segments, what channels have worked best, right? Because, you know, if you're targeting sort of a, you know, $100 to $250 million segment customer, there are certain channels that work really well for them, especially if they happen to be in manufacturing or, you know, one of those industries, right? Because there's a whole, you know, ecosystem of trade shows and, you know, publications mm-hmm. and things like that, and websites that cater to that, you know, that combination, if you will. So again, previously people used to go, I need pipeline, I'm going to go SEO, I'm going to go, you know, outbound, I'm going to go this and that. Part of what we are educating our customers to do to recognize is that there is a step in between, right? You need to say, I need more pipeline. Ask yourself exactly where, right? What combinations of segments, verticals, geos, and potentially even products do you need that pipeline in? Then ask yourself what channels work best for these combinations that I need to target, right? Because, you know, instead of it making, you know, making it a one-step answer, it's really now a two-step answer. You solve for it one step at a time, and therefore you get to a better, more efficient way of generating the right kind of pipe using the right channels for exactly the type of pipe you need to generate.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And I mean, we leverage that too. I mean, we did an event-led growth specific by vertical and industry, I guess you could say, and title, right? To have that. And then the other factor that most people ignore, which I heard you say a lot of your clients are private equity, is also the ownership structure, right? So publicly traded companies act way different than, or VC-backed companies operate way different than private equity-backed companies, right? Now, that's starting to come close together, obviously, with the whole profitable growth strategy. But as of, you know, 12 months ago, it was completely different. It was growth at all costs versus, you know, kind of responsible, profitable growth. And then, you know, obviously, publicly traded companies have really weird restrictions with hitting the earnings prices, and then private sometimes are very flexible and laid back. It kind of depends on the ownership group, right? So yeah, I think those are all really, really strong recommendations I think that you're giving people, because I've lived that and I've seen the big, big difference, especially with those different pockets or groups or niches that you're talking about.
Right. Yep. Very true.
So we're almost up on time. So quick question for you is, like, what's your favorite use case for AI internally?
We apply AI, you know, in a limited number of areas, right? I mean, again, you know, I know in an era when everybody is hyper, you know, hyping up AI as the panacea to everything, right? We are very, you know, judicious about the kinds of questions that truly require AI to be applied to be answered well, answered better than we can answer them with more traditional approaches, versus where do just standard ways of slicing and dicing data and connecting the dots in very linear ways get you to a good answer, right? So one area where we have, like I said, really fine-tuned the application of AI is in looking at, you know, what is the pipeline I currently have built going to yield, you know, by certain timeframes, right? You know, if current quarter, N+1, N+2, N+3. And also kind of, you know, looking at the macro picture, you know, if I account for all of the puts and takes that impact how much pipeline I have available, how much of it I'm going to be able to convert, pull in, push out, all of those things. How can we come up with a high confidence estimate that really helps CROs answer, you know, with the pipeline I've already built, what percentage of the yearly goal can I expect to retire? And therefore, what's the delta that I'm solving for, right? Because, you know, that's really where, you know, I think many CROs and revenue teams spend so much time chasing current quarter deals. We think it's not because they want to. It's because that's all that the current crop of tooling that they have encourages them to do, right? Because if you look at the landscape, every large vendor out there wants to become a revenue execution machine of some sort, right? Which means short-term, this quarter focus, which is really important. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you miss every quarter's numbers, you're not going to be a CRO for very long, right? But at the same time, if all you're doing is just chasing current quarter deals, I think you're just setting yourself up for failure, right? So for us, you know, it's all about using AI to answer the most critical high level questions that need to get answered well. And there are a number of other vendors that use AI to compose email to prospects and all that. We think there's a lot of those, lot of fantastic use cases that are already solved for very well by other vendors that we don't feel the need to jump in and be a me too in that space, right? Where we really want to add value is in taking high level revenue goals and after developing sort of, you know, almost like doing a PET scan of your organization's past performance, if you will, right, with the depth of understanding that gives us and the platform. How can the platform give you answers to, you know, coming up with a plan that's set up, mm-hmm. that set you up to succeed, right? And for the most part, where we apply AI is really the predictive analytics of projecting how much our pipeline is going to yield. And we're also looking at things like, you know, combining, you know, conversational intelligence data, you know, with opportunities moving back and forth. And we're also trying to see, can we actually predict which opportunities will or what percentage of your pipeline will slip based on what we are seeing in terms of, you know, high level analytics coming from conversation intelligence tools, for example. So those are all things we are still sort of, you know, experimenting with. And none of that has, you know, we haven't really rolled out any of that to production yet. But that's something that we're working on.
Excellent, man. Well, unfortunately, we are up on time. I think that this is great because you hit on a lot of points that I've seen folks miss as well. And I know they're true because I've lived them personally on multiple levels. So where can people find you? Where can they find more about SkyGenie? And then we'll wrap things up.
Sure. So we're at skygenie.com, SkyGenie.com. A lot of times people put an E at the end. So we're not a genie, but, you know, with the genie without the E, like I say. So we're skygenie.com. And then, you know, certainly, you know, I can be, you know, you know, contact us at sankar.sundaresan at skygenie.com. And, thanks for the opportunity to be on the podcast and for the excellent conversation.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Love what you guys are doing over there. It sounds like there's a massive, massive need. Actually, I know there's a massive need for it. So, and congrats on being bootstrapped and working your way through that. That's really, really hard. So thanks for being on, Sankar.
Thank you.
Thank you for checking out the Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.